Welcome to the Wahoo Central podcast, which we record every week at the McHugh Center. I'm Jeff White, director of news content for VirginiaSports.com. There's a huge soccer game at Klockner Stadium on Friday night, and joining me today is Patty Foss, a third-year defender on the Virginia men's team. Patty, thanks for squeezing this in on short notice. How's everything going?
Great. Yeah, I'm real excited for the game tomorrow, so I appreciate you having me out.
Virginia is ranked 13th nationally. It plays fifth-ranked North Carolina at Klockner, 7 p.m. Friday. This is UVA's final home game of the regular season, but it's too early to say if it will also be the team's last game of the year at Klockner. The Hoos could end up playing home games in both the ACC and NCAA tournaments. However that all shakes out, this will be senior night. As one of the players who will have eligibility remaining after this season, what would it mean for you to send Todd Wharton and Scott Thompson and Marcus Solandi DeFore and Andrew Freshy out with a win over UNC?
Yeah, I mean, the game's going to be huge regardless. Of course, UNC is a tough opponent. They're always a tough opponent. But those four guys have all meant a tremendous deal to me personally and to the program. And whether they've, you know, been Todd and his leadership as captain or Freshy, who also provides a ton of leadership, and it was a walk-on, I think that those four deserve it, and hopefully we can produce a win for those guys.
On your 21st birthday, you scored an incredible goal on a free kick from just beyond midfield against Louisville with about 90 seconds left at Klockner. That turned out to be the game winner. Technology is an amazing thing. Video of not only that goal, but the other one you scored on another free kick earlier in the game went viral almost immediately. You were on SportsCenter and many other media outlets. Were you overwhelmed by the response? What was that like?
A little bit. It was an awesome experience, and social media is a pretty unbelievable thing. I was a little bit overwhelmed. I think it helped that we had a quick turnaround and had to play Portland that Monday, because I probably watched it way too many times and was getting tweets and stuff. But it was a fun moment. To have it on my birthday was very cool.
Awful weather conditions that day too.
Definitely.
Is that one of those deals where by the time you get back to the locker room and you have an opportunity to turn your phone on that it's just, you know, hundreds of text messages, calls, that whole deal?
Yeah, I mean, by the time I turned my phone on from the locker room, I just had an unbelievable amount of tweets and the text started pouring in. And, I said it before, but I started to get myself in a little bit of trouble because, you know, I'd get, like, my close friends and family who'd be texting me just for my birthday. And I would totally miss those texts because they would get, you know, mixed in. So, it was a pretty overwhelming and pretty fun experience.
Scott Thompson played in the first game of the season, and then he had surgery to repair a sports hernia. And in his absence, you moved into the starting lineup at left back. You have definitely made the most of the opportunity. You're leading the team in scoring with 9 points on 2 goals and 5 assists. How would you assess your play this fall? Is this your best season at UVA yet?
I think it's fair to say it's my best season at UVA yet. Scott's an unbelievable player and a guy that has made me better. Being able to play with him in training and being able to push each other, I like to think that I've made him better, you know. And so it was tough. I mean, it's definitely tough to have a starter drop in your first game. But I think the coaches are comfortable putting me in. And like you said, I think I've made a lot, the most of my opportunity. And with Scott coming back now and healthy, hopefully we can both get on the field, because I think that's something that he and I, you know, have talked about and would like to see. And I think, you know, it could help the team.
I mean, haven't you had a nagging injury yourself that you've been dealing with?
And yeah.
Wasn't there some talk that you might have surgery and redshirt this season?
Yeah, that was, I had a sports hernia surgery myself in May, and after that, there was some talk. I do have a little bit of a nagging injury, and we were talking about fixing that before the season and taking a red shirt. And we kind of played it by ear preseason, and I was making it through, and it was bothering me a little bit. And when Scott went down, we kind of just said, okay, let's try and go. And if it turned out to be too much during the year, then I would get it fixed and stop playing. But it's been all right so far, I guess. And I think that's something I'm going to fix after the season. And yeah, hopefully I can continue to play on it.
A number of other players have had to deal with injuries this season, including Marcus, who's back and healthy now, knock on wood. In addition to that, the coach and staff faced the challenge of integrating a first-year class with the returning players. Looking at it from the outside, it seems like the team is still gelling and kind of trying to find its identity. Do you see things coming together as the postseason approaches? Because obviously there's a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably the most talented team since I've been here, and that includes last year's national championship team. Do I see it gelling? Absolutely. I mean, I think that's been evidenced in the last couple games with the freshman production on the offensive side. I think we were all breathe a collective sigh of relief after getting a shutout at Tech because we've been leaking goals a little bit. Yeah, I do think everybody's gelling. And to have guys healthy again, you know, Marcus, Jake, Scotty, you know, those are veteran guys. And so if we can get all the veteran guys healthy and on the field and then gel with the younger guys, I think we're going to be pretty dangerous in the coming weeks.
You mentioned the first years. That class includes Edward Opoku, Derek Etienne, John Christophe, Kofi, Malcolm Dixon, Wesley Wade, Simeon Okoro. What do you think of that group as a whole? There's obviously a lot of attacking firepower in that group.
Yeah, I mean, every kid in that class can play. And that includes the guys that we really even haven't seen much of this year. Today in practice, I was just talking with Scott about Daniel Bear Jensen. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a big time soccer player, and I think he'll be big time for us in the future. But all those guys can play, and we've seen some production from the guys who have gone on the field, and I think we'll see more of that as we get in the postseason. And really, I mean, that's what you need. I mean, as was evidenced last year, you got to be pretty deep to make a long run in the tournament.
You were a mid-year enrollee here back in January 2013. I know your mother is a UVA graduate. Was this your dream school growing up?
The answer to that is no. in fact, when I came out of the U.S. Soccer Residency Program, I kind of narrowed down my scope of places I wanted to go, and I knew I wanted to go pretty close to home. My shortlist didn't include UVA, and my parents said, you know, I think you should look at UVA, and it was really my dad who was like, you know, you got to at least go on a visit for mom. And so I was like, all right, I'll go. You know, I'll talk to them. You know, obviously it's a historic soccer program and a great school. And I just kind of wanted to do my own thing. And
so who was on that shortlist?
That shortlist had Maryland, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Duke, and Georgetown. Those are probably the short list.
That's basically everyone in the region,
yeah,
except Virginia.
And it came once I got down here, like I think many before me, I fell in love with the place. And it came down to Maryland and Virginia. And
you chose wisely.
I think I did. And in the end, it came down to that I wanted to play with the V on my chest and not a Maryland flag on my shirt. So, yeah, I think I'm happy with the choice for sure.
You have been a fixture on the academic honor roll here. What's your major? And because you enrolled early, are you on track to graduate December 2016 or earlier even?
Yeah, so I have started to do even better in school. And ACC honor roll was a cool honor this year. I'm a government major, and I have a religious studies minor. I'm on track to graduate in about 5 weeks.
Wow.
So that'll put me at 3 full years at UVA. I've done some summer school. I took a J term, and I came up with some credits. And so as of December, I will be a graduate of the University of Virginia.
So what's that mean for next year then?
I've applied to a program in the Curry School of Education. It's a master's in higher ed, and it has a focus in athletic administration. And so that is my plan for the coming year. But yeah, I'll graduate here pretty shortly.
You have 4 brothers and 4 sisters. Were your teammates here amazed when they first learned that you came from such a large family?
Yeah, I think they were, and they still are. It's kind of funny as the freshmen and the younger guys find out, you know, one by one. It's pretty funny to watch. I'm always the guy in the locker room that's asking for a guy's extra tickets. And they're like, why do you need so many tickets? Well, my family's coming to the game, so I just need a couple extra ones. But yeah, I think guys are a little surprised when they hear that. Yeah.
You're president of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee here. How did you get involved with that organization, and what are your responsibilities as president?
The Student Athlete Advisory Committee basically serves as a liaison between the student athletes and the athletic administration, as well as the NCAA and the ACC. Last year, I was the soccer team's representative to the committee. And then I was at the end of the year, you know, I enjoyed my time with the committee, and I was talking to Phil Gates, the life skills director here, and he kind of oversees the committee. And I told him, you know, I think I'll think about a spot in the leadership. And he said, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I kind of was like, well, maybe vice president or secretary. And he was like, well, you might as well run for president. So I was like, all right. And it turns out, you know, I was elected president. And my day-to-day duties for the committee are not, I mean, it's not an everyday thing, but I oversee meetings. I meet with a lot of the athletic administration officials, you know, Mr. Oliver, for instance, Todd Goodale, things like that. I was part of a leadership conference for students at UVA. And so that was the chair of the honor committee, you know, chair of the judiciary committee, you know, so things like that. I think whenever athletics kind of needs a student representative to something outside of athletics, it kind of defaults to me. But yeah, it's been a fun experience, and I've enjoyed it so far.
Your father works for ESPN. Did you attend all kinds of cool sporting events when you were growing up because of that?
Yeah, I did. He now works in studio productions, so he does studio shows he oversees. But growing up, he always did live broadcasts. And so I grew up around MLS games almost every weekend. College basketball, he was always doing the local college basketball games, so I would get a press pass and sneak down the court. But yeah, looking back on it, I've got to see some pretty cool college sporting events and professional events. You know, I sat on the field for a lot of DC United games, you know, in my early years, and yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun.
I've seen you sporting pink cleats at a lot of games. Is there a story behind those shoes?
There isn't really a good story behind them. I got a pair of gray ones. Gray and pink in preseason, and I saw the all pink ones come out, and so I kind of asked for those, and they've become somewhat of a staple. But I will say that I'm dealing with a little bit of plantar fasciitis this week, and they may have seen their end, because they're moving me to a wider pair.
At the College Cup last year, when the championship game against UCLA went to penalty kicks, you converted yours to help the Hoos win their 7th NCAA title. It was interesting for me to see the different styles of each player on the PKs. One of your teammates is Sam Hayward. He just attacks the ball and seems to want to kick it as soon as possible. You take a long, long, long run up that almost lulls the goalie to sleep. Have you always done it that way? And is there a point at which the official says, let's get on with it?
I've never had an official try to speed me up. I have always done it that way since I was probably, you know, preteen. I think my thought process behind it is that I'm pretty comfortable in the moment. The nerves aren't really a factor for me. I've never really had a problem with nerves and PKs. The more I can make him think about it, the better, I think. And so as I kind of take my slow, long run up, I kind of watch him. And in the case of UCLA, I think I was able to look up and I saw him move real early. And at that point, it was just passing to the back of the net. So it is PKs are a big mind game. And so if I'm comfortable in my preparation and can make him uncomfortable and make it a different thing for him, then great. It makes it interesting in practice, though, because, of course, mine take way longer than everybody else's.
Okay, final question. We were talking about playing at Klockner. I know the focus is always supposed to be on what's happening between the lines, but I'm sure you guys are aware of the fans at home, and particularly when there's a strong turnout in general, but the students. I mean, what does it mean when you see the Who crew there turning out in force, making noise throughout the game?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything. I mean, for a game like tomorrow, it's going to be good weather. You know, it's a big opponent. There's a lot of implications for playoff seeding. When we can get a big crowd, get the Who crew out, I mean, it means a ton to us. And it helps more than I think anybody knows. Because Klockner can be a fortress. And if we can get a crowd out there, you know, in force, it's a scary place for opponents to play. And so, the fans can have a huge impact on the game. Absolutely.
Well, should be a good one tomorrow night. Thanks again for stopping by. Good luck against Carolina and in the postseason. Hope we can all end the season at the College Cup again.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
This will be a busy weekend on grounds for UVA athletics. There's men's soccer Friday night at Klockner, volleyball Friday and Saturday nights at Mem Gym, and football Saturday afternoon at Scott Stadium. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on men's soccer and all our other teams. And thanks for listening.